get to talk to him last week because he blew his voice out screaming and cheering for the Dallas Cowboys. NFL Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin joins us, and Steve DiAssi in the house with us as well. Hello, Michael. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great, man. My voice is back, man. I can even yell.
No, not yet.
Right. Save it.
Let's get
so long since I could yell, man. I'm telling you, it just felt like for so long there's been like only a little bit of air that get through my pipes, and my pipes, I felt defamed, like everybody has taken all of my power away, and I couldn't do anything or say anything. And I was hating the fact that we were coming up on the playoffs, and I can't even really express myself, but I'm back, right in time, perfect timing, I'm healed.
All right, let's get the stupid question out of the way right off the bat. Do you think the Cowboys have a chance this weekend?
I think, honestly, everybody has a chance to win this Super Bowl. Everybody that's left in the playoffs, which makes a great playoffs for everybody, for all of us. Each game that's being played this weekend, you can see each game going either way. You know, and I don't think, I mean, each game you can see them going either way. Any one of those teams can win. And that's what makes it interesting, because everybody's going to tune in, since everybody believes that the parity that the NFL has been working for and trying to get has arrived.
What do you think is going to be the most important thing for the Patriots to do on Sunday to beat the Chargers?
I honestly believe, and I'm going to talk about this on Sunday, you got to have a visit to yesterday to win tomorrow, today and tomorrow. And the visit to yesterday has to come from Gronk. Gronk has to visit his old self and bring it to the game, because you'll need that one pinnacle person, a person that we say we're going to build everything off of and we're going to make everything around him, because, you know, of course, Josh Gordon is gone. And it'll be hard. It'll be hard to just run Sony Michel and run, and run your way to the Super Bowl. So Gronk is going to have to recapture days of old to get you guys to this new day.
Do you think he can, Michael?
Oh, absolutely. You know, see, listen, man, you know, we get in these playoffs, and it's a finite time. Mm-hmm. When you go through a long season, it seems like it's infinite time. And, you know, week three comes around, and say, man, it's only week three. You got a long time, and your body's hurting. You got a grudge through all of that, week four, week five, week six. Right now, you got 3 weeks. That's it. You got 3 weeks. You can put your body through whatever you got to put it through for 3 weeks. I promise you, Kimmy Johnson used to have a meeting and tell us all, I don't care. We got 3 weeks left in this season. Each one of us should be willing to hang by our kimono, moon noodles, for the next 3 weeks to do what we got to do to win this Super Bowl. And for 3 weeks, you can get anything out of your body, knowing in 3 weeks I'll get 3 months rest.
There's been a lot of talk in these parts about the play of Tom Brady, whose numbers are down from last year when he had an MVP season, when quarterback numbers in general are up all around the NFL. Do you think that Tom Brady is still the Tom Brady that everybody knows and fears?
I still think Tom Brady is still Tom Brady. You know what I mean? But now, what I do believe, and we talked about this earlier, is that what we're seeing around, it has changed. It's not necessarily that he's changed, but what we're seeing around him has changed. Now you're seeing explosiveness out of other people and other teams and other teams that you guys got to play, that New England has to play to get to the promised land. Before, you didn't see that. The only really problem you had was Pittsburgh, maybe. You had to deal with Pittsburgh and everything. You had to deal with Pittsburgh. But now Kansas City's in there. San Diego's playing well. So this puts a whole different thing on it. But I do still believe that he is still him, but it is a tougher road now.
Now, as a show, we put our heads together. We came up with one bet that we happened to like on the board this weekend. And believe it or not, we came up with the under in the Colts-Chiefs game. Do you think there's a chance that that game could be lower scoring, even though it's two great offenses?
What's the under now?
57. 57 is the number.
Let me give a qualifier here. I'm not into anything about gambling.
Right.
Not yet. The NFL, they'll be on that as soon as everything gets legalized. They'll figure all that out.
Then
I guess we'll be on the show talking about +3 or +5. Oh, that's coming. I know that's coming.
Yes.
If you're going there, that is coming. But right now, I'm not abreast of it. So you say the under is 57?
Yeah, the number's 57, and we think it's going to be under that number. Is that what do you think of that?
And the weather is one thing.
Right.
And the weather is one thing. And let me tell you something now. We're doing, and I didn't even mention Indy when I'm talking about what New England has to face. We're talking about best offense right now in the NFL. And I'm willing to say right now, as I look right now, not when we look over what has happened during the season, I'm willing to say it may be Indy. Yeah. That may be Indy. Very few people may say that, but Indy has so many ways to hurt you, and they have a great running game, and that offensive line is great. I could see that being an over.
Because I
just see that being an over 57. 57 really not that many points.
Oh, boy.
27 apiece. That thing's over. You don't think this game's going to be 31-28 or 34-31, something like that? That's all Kansas City has been playing. Go and look down and see how many times. Kansas City, I think, held one team. I was looking at it while I was studying the other day. Kansas City held one team to single digits. That's one team under double digits. One team all year long. I think Indy held about 6-17. So, you know, and they blanked the Cowboys.
But do you think there's any chance, Michael, that Patrick Mahomes, who had 50 touchdowns and will probably be the league MVP, and it's his first playoff game, though. Is there any kind of adjustment period you think there? Could he psych himself out?
Bing, 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 bing. And that's the kicker. And you just saw it happen with Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. And remember how I always say, guys, new levels bring new devils. Every time you step up to a new platform, you're going to have new challenges. And I believe he will have that new challenge. But I think he will adjust. I don't Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson, they were a little maybe too narrow and could not make the adjustment mid-game. And I think Mahomes will adjust, just like he adjusted when they played New England. Remember, he missed those first early passes. I thought that was the new levels, hitting new devils, because Tom Brady was on the other sideline. But he adjusted, and they came back, even though they didn't win that game. I think he'll adjust somewhere in this game and still put up points.
Michael, is it just different knowing that I don't think I'd be surprised if there was any matchup in the Super Bowl. I can't remember a year that it seemed this wide open.
Me neither, Steve. That's what's amazing. I mean, anything you can say, I can see that happen. Any combination you bring up, I can see that happening. And then sometimes, you know, we're looking for domination on one side, and we have seen domination this year. But it's been different times with different teams, and I believe that the most important thing is to be dominating now. It wasn't at all the start of the season averaging 37 points a game. No, are you dominating now? What was it like, as Bill Belichick says all the time? Real football season starts after Thanksgiving. What was it like after Thanksgiving for you? That's the team that's dominating, and that's why I say Indy is right up top.
So, Michael, some of these teams that didn't finish near as strong as they started, that you don't think that's a big issue?
I do.
Yeah.
I do think it's an issue. Because, you know, you're going to get in the game, and if they don't have early success, then their mindset will go back to the late season. Man, well, we struggle the late season. If they have early great success, then they may say, we're back on track now. It's the playoff. I told you, it was my fourth part. We're ready. But if they don't, if you can slow them down, when I was over at the complex the other day with the Cowboys, I was telling them, I said, you got to be able to absorb this freshness, because the Rams have sat around last week. You, You got to be able to absorb that freshness early on. And if you can absorb it early on and get big plays early on, then you'll be in a good spot. And that's exactly what's got to happen.
We're talking to NFL Hall of Fame wide receiver Michael Irvin. Now, please don't take offense when I say this, Michael, but elite wide receivers have been known to be a bit of a diva at times. Not that you were, but it's been known that is the case. Could Antonio Brown pull that stuff back in and become a productive member of a team again?
Oh, yeah. Listen, here it is. We've seen issues this year, and we've seen what Antonio Brown has done. But let's be real. Antonio Brown's been around a while, long time. And he's put up just things. He's done nothing but put up 100 catch seasons and been the best receiver in the league. They're a whole, I was just watching those movies the other day. You know, they did a marathon on it. London has fallen, or the White House has fallen. You know those movies where it's fallen. Right now, Pittsburgh has fallen. That's all that is. It's just Pittsburgh has fallen. And it's the residual of what happened with Le'Veon Bell. Whenever you get somebody that plays that way within an organization, and an organization looks to him and says, we're not going to take care of you. We're going to take care of him. We'll look at the next man. That's a rippling effect, because now you start questioning your commitment to the organization, because you see the commitment, the organization has no commitment back. And then all of this stuff that Ben Roethlisberger has been saying, there's been something brewing. Why would your quarterback, who has been, you've caught 100 passes the last 6 years with, all of a sudden go on TV or go on a radio show saying, I should have thrown all 4 passes, when the game, let me say this again. When the damn game was on the line, I should have thrown all 4 passes to Juju Smith-Schuster. You almost made me curse. Are you guys joking? Mm-hmm. I did an interview one time with Keyshawn Johnson when he was with the Cowboys, and I asked him, I said, do you believe you're the number one receiver? He said, what do you mean? You know I'm the number one receiver. I said, well, Keyshawn, your team, third and four with the game on the line, 4th and 4 with the game on the line, they threw the ball to somebody else. If that was me, oh, my God, Armageddon is about to happen. I don't care what you say. The game on the line, 3rd and 4, third down and four, and you don't even throw me a pass? Oh, Armageddon's happening. And Ben Roethlisberger is saying I should have gone all 4 to somebody else. I hate to tell you, buddy, we would have had a serious problem. Now, receivers are different creatures, man. Think about it, the dichotomy that rams within our spirit. We're standing out wide all by ourselves independently, but we're very dependent. Hmm. We're out wide, independent, but very dependent. So it's an interesting talent that you got to make sure you know how to manage. And Todd Haley knew how to manage that. Let me give him something early and get him going. And Ben Roethlisberger got Todd Haley out there. So Todd Haley got his support cast. It got Antonio Brown's support cast out. I think they got problems. I tell you what, send him to San Francisco if you want. I guarantee you San Francisco will take him and turn it into something special with Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan at the head coach.
Michael, as it stands right now, there are only 2 black head coaches in the NFL. What does that tell you?
It tells me it's a sad day. You know, you really wish we had more production, first of all, in that area. And I'm talking about from the NFL and giving those opportunities to African-Americans. You fire 5 African-Americans and none are hired. And the only thing you got to sit back and think about, guys, there's certain hires I don't even question. You know, Bruce Arians is a proven head coach. You hire a guy like that, okay. You know, even out in Denver, Vic Fangio, you hire a guy like that, okay. But some of these, the King Bears, all these guys that they were losing where they were. They left the job. They got fired for losing and jump right at this level and get head coaching jobs. And not anything against him. God bless him and good luck with it. But it's something that makes you have to ponder and wonder, how does that go down?
Do you think that some of this is try to find the next McVay in this situation?
Oh, no, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt it's trying to find, you're trying to find the next McVay, which is young guy that really offensive mind and offensive needs. And I subscribe to that. If you have a young quarterback, I subscribe to that. I believe you go get you a young offensive mind that can work with the young quarterback so the quarterback feels that he has control of the team and doesn't have to worry about if I make a bad play here, if I do this, I do that, I may be sat down. I subscribe to that. But are we seeing there are no African Americans in the pipeline? Or when we say we got to go get a young Sean McVay, do we mean skin color too? Or do we mean ability? Someone with that kind of ability, are we saying there are no African Americans with that kind of ability? See, there's two things going on when we say a young Sean McVay. I don't mind getting somebody with that talent, with that ability, and not worry about the covering that he comes in. But when we say it, are we saying we want what's inside and what's outside a young Sean McVay? And if we're saying both, then that's a problem. What's inside and what's outside, that's a problem. If you want what he has inside, I ain't got no issue with that. And that can come packaged in many forms. But if you want what's inside and outside, the same thing, then that's a problem.
Final question before we let you go. Who wins Patriots-Chargers here on Sunday?
I'm still taking the Patriots to win that football game. But I'm telling you, at home, it's going to be the closest fight that they've had. And now, if I'm in the locker room of the Chargers, I will make it the greatest fight that they've ever had, because I'm going to tell, I would tell all the guys, listen, man, we got a guy that's been playing a long time, and he deserves all we have all the time on this field all day, because he's never played in a Super Bowl. That's most completions, most yards, and all that for a guy that has never played in the Super Bowl. If we don't do anything, we sacrifice and offer ourselves up for him today, and I will play my ass off for Phillip Rivers, and I will be making sure everybody else in that locker room do the same thing, because this opportunity may not come again.
We always appreciate the time. We're glad your voice is back. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Great to hear you, Michael.
With you, man. I swear I hope that it will ever help anybody where your voice is gone for a whole month, man. I had to sit around. I got beat down. My wife pushed me around. Everybody just said what they wanted to say. I couldn't even stand up and talk about anything. But I'm back.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael. Michael. See you.
All right, guys.
Take care. That is Hall of Fame wide receiver Michael Irvin. When we come back, you'll hear Tom Brady at the podium down at Gillette Stadium in preparation of this weekend's playoff game against the Chargers. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
The Patriots' march to Atlanta starts right here as they get ready to do battle with the Chargers. React and talk about it right now. Now back to Dale and Keefe on Sports Radio, WEEI.
All right, Tom Brady getting ready for the playoff game this weekend to the podium down at Gillette Stadium. Let's take you down there right now and hear from the Patriots quarterback.
It's just great environment for football. Great team. It's a great matchup, so hopefully we play our best game.
Every year is different as you walk into, whether it be the regular season, the postseason, try to go forward. What makes this year different than all the others?
What makes this year different than...
What makes this team this year kind of the feeling you have different than maybe the last couple of years?
I'm not sure. This is a, you know, unique team. You know, it's not going to be the same next year. Just going to have to make the best of it.
When you think about past matchups with Phillip Rivers, a lot of people will look at it and say, your teams have had a lot of success, but just match up with him. What stands out to you from those games over the years?
Yeah, he's a great player, and they've had a lot of great teams at San Diego over the years, led by him. And he's just a great passer, tough, very accurate. He's a great leader. So I think when I think about that team, it's just he's an emotional leader, and he always gets those guys going. They always have a good offense, so... It's a good team. You know, obviously they're good in all three phases, and they've won a lot of games this year. Gone on the road a bunch, so they're very mentally tough. And it's going to take our best to win.
Compete level go up when you see a guy like, or when you face a guy like him or Manning over the years, those kind of guys, because he fights till the very last snap, that kind of guy.
Yeah, he does. They've been behind a few times this year, too. And, you know, he just, they keep fighting and they're back in it. They down 14 to KC with 4 minutes left. They were down a bunch of Steelers. And you just can't count them out. So, like I said, they play well together as a team. So, as a, you know, complementary units, kind of what we try to do. They're really well coached, and it's a great challenge. It'll be a fun game.
Tom, teams who have been successful against you guys in the postseason have gotten pressure off the edge. How concerned are you, Bosa and Ingram, right there? And is there an extra emphasis on those guys this week?
Yeah, they're great players, and both of them. You know, anytime you got two pass rushers, it makes it tough to stop. You know, for an offense. Because, you know, you give attention to one guy, you know, the other guy's got kind of a free pass. So it's tough. I mean, I think that's why they're one of the best defense in the league, because they got guys that rush. And anytime you could play that style, the ball comes out faster than the offense would like it to. I think those guys really play hard on defense. They have a good interior rush, obviously a good edge rush, very instinctive players in the secondary, very good safeties, good corners. So it's a very good defense.
When you've been playing as long as and at a high level as you have and as Philip have, you set sort of a record for being the oldest tandem
nice.
In the postseason.
Nice and old.
78 years and 198 days old. It actually breaks a record that you and Peyton had as the oldest tandem. I mean, what is your reaction to setting another age record?
That's a pretty good one right there. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's just fun to be around. I mean, I'm out there today practicing, and it's, you know, whatever, degrees out, 10 degrees, 15 degrees, the real feel. And I'm sitting here just playing with my friends, throwing a football around. So it's just a great blessing to be able to do it and do it, you know, here for this team, which I'd love to do if Phillip's been on the same team. It means a lot. So we all work hard to get to this point. You know, these things aren't guaranteed. Very tough to get to this point in the season. Every team 4 months ago thought they'd be playing in these games. The reality is that's not the way the NFL is. So, you know, we're very fortunate and we've got to go out and try to take advantage of it.
Tom, we talked with J.C. Jackson this week about playing in his first playoff game, and he said, you know, of course I'm nervous, but I'm excited and I feel ready. This is far from your first playoff game, but how do you kind of ease the emotions of those guys who are going through it for the first time?
Yeah, those guys are, you know, it's Coach does a great job preparing all the younger players. You know, the veterans kind of know what to expect, but Coach has different ways of kind of letting those guys know what it's going to be like and what they should expect. You know, there's obviously more emotion and energy. There's more attention, and these are big games. You know, but you play the game to be in these moments and have these opportunities and to give your team a chance to advance. So hopefully we go out and play our best game of the year.
You mentioned the Chargers use a lot of last week they used 7 defensive backs a lot. Before that, last week they used 6 defensive backs.
Yep.
Do you enjoy that challenge? Because obviously with more defensive backs on the field, it's tougher to throw the ball, maybe a more run game. Yep. Do you sort of enjoy that challenge as a quarterback? You've really got to find those creases in the zone if they're playing cover 3.
Yeah, they're good pass players. And I think that, you know, anytime you get a lot of DBs out there on the field, you got to be cognizant because they cover more ground than maybe some bigger linebackers. They've had some injury at linebacker this year, and I think they like playing with those guys anyway. They're good players. They're very instinctive. They obviously know what they're doing, and I think anytime you go into the last, you know, the game they had last week, you don't know that's going to be the last game of the year. You put your best out there, and they obviously went with what they thought was best, putting a lot of DBs on the field, and, you know, we've talked about a lot of different scenarios, and we're prepared, so. It's a big challenge either way. I think they're very good defense, very good scheme, very good players, very well coached, and they don't give you anything easy, so we're going to have to go out and earn it.
Tom, how beneficial was the bye for the team as a whole, and I guess for you, but also what's your confidence in just the state of the offense and where things are right now?
This is, you know, the time of year we got to, you know, go out and be at our best, so it all comes down to this. It's a production-based league, and, you know, regardless of what's happened to this point, it's about winning this game. And if you don't play great, really in all 3 phases, I don't think there's any. Anytime you play good teams, you can't, you know, expect one phase of your team to carry you. It's got to be a great complementary game. We're playing against a team that's played as well as any team all season. So, you know, we want to go out and play well as an offense. Our defense has to play well. We have to play well in the kicking game. It's, you know, everybody's kind of, you know, at the point of attack.
What is that line as a team where you're throwing around the football at practice with your friends to, you got to have that intensity to play this game on Sunday to move forward?
Yeah, it's been, you know, it's always pretty intense. It's just naturally, again, you feel the emotion, the energy is a little bit different. You know, these weeks, and we've been preparing hard the last 2 weeks. This is our last day of practice today. Get a little rest tomorrow and kind of fine-tune some things, and then get out there on Sunday and try to play a great game.
Tom, can you talk about your relationship with Rob Gronkowski and how it's evolved, you know, from 2011 to now? You guys seem to be closer off the field and on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been, we're pretty, you know, we've always had great communication because when you know, offensive players see each other a lot, and I've, you know, been in a lot of meetings with Rob over the years, a lot of practices, games, biggest moments, and I just love to see how he's developed as a player, as a person, teammate, friend, you know, everything. He's just a great player. He's been just a great player for this organization, and I can't say enough good things about him.
Tom, do you have to remind downplaying the cold weather this morning? You in the past have said you like having the cold weather with warm weather teams coming in. What is the distinct advantage you guys have with the weather?
Well, I just think, you know, the ability to practice in it like today, you know, it's very similar to what we're going to get on Sunday. So just knowing, again, how many layers you got to put on and kind of how you're going to feel. We didn't have the nice warm heated benches out there like we will on Sunday. But, you know, it's cold, and that's just part of this time of year. But it's good to be playing when it's cold out. I mean, it's good to be playing this time of year in Foxborough. And the weather changed a little bit yesterday. It snowed at the start and then got sunny, then got cloudy, then got windy, then got sunny, and it was – it's just a bunch of different things. So just to practice in it, you know, we're prepared for it. And, you know, hopefully we can use some of the things we learned to our advantage.
Tom Brady down at Gillette Stadium in preparation for Sunday's playoff game against the Los Angeles Chargers. What else you got is coming up next. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Getting you through your workday, it's Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
That glass breaks, the crowd goes wild.
You know what it means.
It means Rossi's going to say something really disgusting to start off. What else you got?
Oh, the news. I'm sorry, guys. You guys are dead wrong. I know. I don't like to say that often,
wait,
especially not to your face.
What's the question?
Wrong? Oh, the question was, we talked earlier, Dale started off the program by peeping on some guy peeing in the shower.
That is
not
true.
Peeping.
That is
peeping.
True.
Not
yeah,
peeping.
Was standing there.
Peeping. The Cliff's Notes version of it. That
peeping.
Is true.
Peeping.
I'm not
peeping in tones. Intention.
Listen, broad exactly. Strokes, the story was Dale taking a peek. But
that's a good point. All right, you're right. You are telling me.
He noticed peeing in the shower. Yeah. So I came out and said that, yes, I pee in the shower. You guys all think that's weird.
Disgusting.
Yes. We put a poll up
terrible.
On
terrible.
The Dale Keefe Twitter, and it said, do you pee in the shower? And 73% of people said, yes, they do.
Oh,
and only
God.
27 said no.
You know what? I'm not surprised.
You know what that means?
I shouldn't be surprised.
73% of people are disgusting out there.
Most right-thinking people were too disgusted. Were probably throwing up in their mouths to be able to respond to that.
That's true. That they just chose
and
not
now,
to answer.
And now you have your support group. So you
yeah,
guys
good for
can
you,
those
Rossi.
Are my people.
Yeah, those are
my people.
You should start a chat room.
Oh, my God.
Right? Congratulations.
What else you got?
All right, Steve, you got something?
What do you got?
You know what? I just wanted to talk real quickly about a kid from Framingham and Springfield, a Massachusetts kid, Christian Wilkins at Clemson. Just what a phenomenal individual. Won the Campbell Award, this trophy this year, which is considered the academic Heisman for that, for academics, great play and community service. The kid is just a phenomenal go-getter and just accomplishes great things. Graduated from college in 2.5 years.
Jeez.
2.5 years.
Wicked smart.
Show off.
And with never anything less than a 3.0 you know, Massachusetts kid, actually was started at Framingham High and went down to Connecticut to a private school in Connecticut, I think it was. But just and then to see him his interviews after the national championship, just what a solid young man, and hope all the best for him. He's going to have a great NFL career. Sounds to me like a perfect Bill Belichick.
Oh, is that right?
Just saying it.
What else you got?
All right, Dale, we knew that our guy Scheim, who's been in the last couple of days, he went 4-0 wild card weekend. Mutt went 0-4 on the M&M Investments podcast. They have both made their picks for the divisional round. There's only one game they see differently. So, a couple of things didn't play here. Scheim could continue his hot run, or Mutt could continue his terrible run. That right. is at stake. Now, the one game they differ on, Mutt's taking the Chiefs, what, five and a half?
By five.
By five, and Scheim is on the Colts. So I would say bet accordingly. And just a reminder, our show pick that Steve is going to make down at Twin River is under 57 Colts-Chiefs
game. But what
game.
If the line's 55 by the time I get down there?
Just take the under, Steve. Don't ask.
You're confused.
Right. Just take the under's fine.
Right. What else you got?
Dale?
Rick Nash was the first overall pick in the National Hockey League draft in 2002 by the Columbus Blue Jackets. He was acquired by the Bruins at the trade deadline last year in exchange for a first-round pick. Unfortunately, he suffered a concussion last March that not only ended his season but has now ended his career. Rick Nash announced today that he will be forced to retire from the game of hockey. Now, listen to this. He won the goal-scoring title as a 19-year-old. He hit the 40-goal mark three times. He had 437 goals, 805 points in 1,060 games. He was a preeminent power forward. He was the perfect move for the Bruins to make at the time.
Right.
What you can't predict is when bad things happen. And Rick Nash, unfortunately, will not be able to play again.
One quick thing, Dale. A reminder, this Sunday, Patriots-Chargers 105 kick. Dale and I will be tweeting from the @DaleKeefWEEI account.
What?
So you should be following that bad boy anyway. But if you're not, jump on there, as Dale and I will be entertaining
you'll
you
be able to try
afternoon.
To figure out which one is which. Like, which tweets
of
came
beers, double IPAs.
We're with Ninkovich on Monday. We'll see if he knew the difference.
He won't.
Well, I have a feeling we'll be at Gillette. I think we'll be there either way,
fingers
to be
crossed.
Honest with you.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully.
You got pregame?
Yes, and NFL Sunday starting at 9. I know, Steve, you got the postgame?
Yeah, if I'm feeling it.
If you're feeling
okay,
like
good.
If we win that bet on Saturday.
Ditto.
Woo!
OMF is coming up next, but first we got to say goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye.
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 Goodbye.